Good morning to you. Wonderful to see you in church today on this Good Friday. This is the church acknowledging, memorialising and celebrating the death of Jesus all those years ago so that we might have eternal life. In a moment, we're going to gather around the Lord's table, and at that time, I'm going to ask you to get out of your seats and come from the left and the right to the table where you'll be handed the elements of communion and where together we will enjoy the Lord's Supper, which began all those years ago on the night of the Passover. The Lord's Supper can rightly be called communion because we share it together. Paul asked the Corinthians, do we not share in the blood of Christ? And that word share, when it was translated into Latin, communio, gives us the term communion for this Lord's Supper. So first we're going to read from God's Word, make sure we understand it, and then we'll come to the table together. Our text will be Matthew chapter 26. It's a long chapter, so I will just pick the eyes out of it a little bit. You can probably tell it's going to be long by the title I have up there, Grief, Betrayal, Anger, Lies, Weakness. I couldn't think of a better title, so I just thought I'd put everything that happens in the passage in the title. Years ago, books used to be written like that, a whole page for the title. Anyway, it's another story. One after the other, grief, betrayal, anger, lies, weakness. All those years ago, at that first Easter, you could say. What a dramatic day in world history. And my prayer is that the drama of that day will find its way to you and it will land in the right place. It will rest in you appropriately as God has intended it as we focus our attention on God's Word. Let's pray as we join together. Heavenly Father, prepare our hearts to gather around the Lord's table today. We are keenly aware of your presence amongst us. Lord, I pray that you would be ministering to us by your Holy Spirit, that you would look within us, that you would look to see, as the psalmist prayed, if there was any wicked way in us. Would you do that now, Lord, as we prepare to come to the table? Would you remind us of the things we need to give to you, the strongholds in our life, relationship problems perhaps that we have struggled with and not really dealt with properly. We confess those and ask for guidance. Lord, we want to be fed on Christ today. Not fed so much as in the physical meal, but nourished spiritually. For his body was broken and his blood was shed so that we might have eternal life. And that is only possible through the body and blood of Jesus. May it be more real to us today than it has been in our lives up to this point. And may it cause us to praise you through your Son, by your Spirit. Amen. All around the country at this time and throughout the day, Christians are gathering. It's a high point on our calendar, isn't it? The Easter services, more so than Christmas for guys like me in ministry. These are the days we love, the day we commemorate the death of Jesus. Earlier we had read to us Luke's account of the death of Jesus at the cross, but what I'd like to look at are the events now that immediately led up to it, immediately leading up to the arrest, betrayal and the crucifixion of Jesus. Matthew records that for us in chapter 26 of his gospel. We're about to read it, and as we do, be on the lookout for three problems Jesus has in the text, three problems he's facing. He has a lot more than just three problems, but I want you to focus on three because they directly apply to us today. They're three things that could trip us up. Actually, they're three attitudes we might have that will get in the way of our relationship with Jesus. So we need to be looking for them. Shall we read it together? This is Matthew chapter 26, and I will read it from verse 1. When Jesus had finished saying all these things, he said to his disciples, as you know, Passover begins in 2 days, and the Son of Man will be handed over to be crucified. At that same time, the leading priests and elders were meeting at the residence of Caiaphas, the high priest, plotting how to capture Jesus secretly and kill him. But not during the Passover celebration, they agreed, or the people may riot. Well, it didn't take long to find the first problem that Jesus has, the religious authorities. The religious scene in Jerusalem is theirs at this time. They own it. The temple, the priests, all the bits and pieces. They own the whole lot. And Jesus is an outsider, so they don't like him. He's an outsider to them just by being a Galilean, which is up to the north. Even though he's Jew, he's still kind of an outsider to them. But outsiders are welcome in the kingdom of God, provided they take note of what's expected. See, God makes covenants with people, and they carry obligations. The Lord's Supper we celebrate today is the new covenant in the blood of Christ. For he died so that we might know forgiveness of sins. And when we think about the death of Jesus, and we had that displayed for us beautifully in a video a moment ago, we've been singing about it. When we think about the death of Jesus, we have an image here of the gravity of sin. Is this what it took to pay the price for my sin? And forgiveness, the way God does it, is not automatic for everyone. You have to be in a relationship with Christ. His death has to be applied to your sinful life for it to work. But the religious authorities don't care about all of that. They only care about their procedure and their lifestyle. As long as the wheels keep moving, they will keep their jobs. And that is enough. But hasn't God said he desires more than just temple rituals and dressing up and sacrifices? Hasn't he said that? Plenty of times, like Psalm 51, you do not desire sacrifice, otherwise I would offer one. You do not want burnt offerings. The sacrifice you desire is a contrite heart and a broken spirit. The TV cameras will be in our churches today, all around the country, then all around the world, and that's a good thing. It shows the nation that Christianity is not dead. You could be forgiven for thinking in the media it is. But sometimes I sit down to see how the churches are portrayed on days like this, and I struggle to recognize even my own faith in some of the pictures I see. It's all about ritual and spectacle. When we come to the table today, let us come with praise and thanksgiving and a contrite heart, for these things please God, never more so than at a time like this. Even if our procedure doesn't match a church you grew up in or some other experience you've had. Well, Jesus has been given the shocking, been giving the shocking news to his disciples that he will die. And it's a big pill to swallow, isn't it? He's destined to be killed in Jerusalem. That's the grief part. Next, betrayal, verse 14. Then Judas Iscariot, one of the 12 disciples, went to the leading priests and asked, "How much will you pay me to betray Jesus to you?" And they gave him 30 pieces of silver. From that time on, Judas began looking for an opportunity to betray Jesus. Many disciples up until this point had fallen away from following Jesus. A lot of them were fair-weather disciples. There were benefits of sorts. He was popular, and that was okay. And then there was trouble, or he didn't meet their expectations. Plenty of them fell away. Hundreds, maybe thousands. But this is different. Judas, one of the 12, has betrayed Jesus. Here we have the kind of sin only Satan could inspire. And if you think that's going too far, you need to read on a little bit, because when John and Luke recount this moment later, they will actually say, "Then Satan entered Judas." We're told in clear and unmistakable terms why this has happened. And what seems particularly shocking is that Judas, from what we gather, was there at the table at that Passover as the Lord's Supper was instituted. Jesus actually gives him a piece of bread and off he goes. So he doesn't complete the meal, but he's there in some sense. Friends, that's how close you can come to the truth and still not get it. You can be with Jesus at the Lord's Supper and miss out. You can come today to our table and take the elements of the Lord's Supper and miss out. It's possible. But I'm praying that won't happen here. The second problem Jesus has is religious people. That is, people who embrace Christianity for the benefits, not that there seem to be too many these days, for the benefits, but only if they fit into a scheme that they have already crafted. This is more common than you might think. Sometimes I've had to address this even in church here, where people will turn up, you know, maybe sometimes years at a time they'll attend a church like ours. They believe in Jesus, but he's not really their operating principle or the key driving force in their life. Many Christians develop a kind of philosophy, and the Bible sits underneath it. And you will hear it when you talk to them. They'll say things like, "Everyone deserves a second chance. But if you cross me again, well, then what? Then I go to my philosophy, which is more important than anything else, like forgiving 70 times 7. And you'll see that you'll hear these things in some Christians. And the consequence is, when they get hurt, these people, when they face financial ruin or their marriage breaks up or they face sickness, all of these things, reverting to their philosophy and not the comfort God truly gives us in his word. Religious people are pragmatic people, and Jesus found them in his inner circle as well, certainly with Judas. Think of Ananias and Sapphira in the book of Acts. There they were amongst the apostles and all the great throng. And yet, that didn't work out too well for them either, did it? The disciples are in shock at the news that Jesus will die. Judas betrays him. Now they're probably angry as well. The religious authorities are so angry, they will kill Jesus. And now the lies. Jesus is arrested, and the great court of the Sanhedrin was in session. We actually have a transcript. Would you like to read it? Verse 59. Inside, the leading priests and the entire high council were trying to find witnesses who would lie about Jesus so they could put him to death. Some caught. But even though they found many who agreed to give false witness, they could not use anyone's testimony. They couldn't agree with each other. Conflicting testimonies. Doesn't really matter what they say. At the end of the day, it doesn't really matter. The writing was on the wall, so to speak, to coin a phrase from Daniel. The fate of Jesus is sealed, and his treatment is just awful. And then one disciple is watching on from afar. Verse 69, meanwhile, Peter was sitting outside in a courtyard. A servant girl came over to him and said, "You were one of those with Jesus the Galilean." But Peter denied it in front of everyone. "I don't know what you're talking about," he said. Later, out by the gate, another servant girl noticed him and said to those standing around, "This man was with Jesus of Nazareth." Again, Peter denied it, this time with an oath. "I don't even know the man," he said. A little later, some of the other bystanders came over to Peter and said, "You must be one of them. We can tell by your Galilean accent." Peter swore, "A curse on me if I'm lying. I don't know the man." And immediately the rooster crowed. Suddenly Jesus' words flashed through Peter's mind. "Before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times that you even know me." And he went away weeping bitterly. And there's the weakness. There's a weakness we can all sympathize with, I think. It's a bit hard keeping track of the time here, the time frame. This is obviously overnight, early morning. There are various theories on when and how Jesus was crucified. Doesn't really matter that much. I stick to the idea that Jesus was crucified on the Friday. What you have on screen here is a synopsis of, up the top row, Matthew, Mark and Luke, the synoptic gospels, because they harmonize better. And then along the bottom row, what John says, and he fills in many of the gaps here. And I'm satisfied that Jesus was crucified on what we call Friday of the Julian calendar, which means Passover was the night before. It was the Thursday by our calendar. Friday begins on the Thursday evening at sundown, right? So I'm not going to go into that into too much detail, but it was the full moon. That's when Passover was held. So the first of the month for the Jews, the first of the month of Nisan, was at new moon 14 days later, right? Which, by the way, means that when the earth went dark and Jesus died, it could not have been a regular solar eclipse, could it? It couldn't have been, couldn't it? You can't have a full moon and a solar eclipse. This is the sort of thing we talk about on a Wednesday when we're having lunch with our men. Really important stuff. I mean, it is kind of, but anyway, as a side issue, there may be people who try to explain these things with natural phenomena. That one's not going to work anyway. Now we're in the early morning of Friday, The kangaroo court is in full swing and Peter has his worst day. What an occasion to stumble. And here's the third problem, religious practice. When you come up here and stand before the Lord's table, will you truly mean what you say at that moment and what I'm telling you it should mean? Will your words sound right to God when he hears them? And will they match your commitment as a Christian in your lifestyle in every way? And is your intent that your actions will match the words of your mouth and the meditation of your heart? We can all strive and stumble, but do you mean before God what this service proclaims? And if the answer is no, then you should stay in your seats. But if you can say amen, then come and join us this Good Friday. Celebrate the Lord's Supper as we look forward to the marriage supper of the Lamb, which awaits us in eternity. And now I'm going to ask the elders of our church, Rob and Jeff, if they would come to the table and prepare the elements for us to receive. And as they prepare those, you prepare to receive them yourself. If you need to pray, do it now. I'll give you a few moments to do that yourself. But the one thing you do not want to do is come here in an unworthy manner, whether that be caught in the practice of sin, unable to break the strongholds in your life or the demands that God has placed on you, you are rejecting in your heart. No, you're not the boss of me. If that's how you think, this is not for you. But if you are sorry for your sin, if you have asked forgiveness of the Saviour, and you want to recognize what he has done for you, then join us as a church in unity together. Let us pray as we do. Lord, prepare our hearts now to receive your blessing. We are aware of your presence here with us this morning, and we wish to feed on Christ. For he said his broken body was nourishment to our souls. And now, Lord, minister to us in a way which is only possible at the table, with the elements and other believers, and you in our midst. Feed us, equip us, refine us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Now let's stand and come from the left and the right in some kind of peaceful order and join us at the table. Take the elements, the bread and the juice, and return to your seats and wait for us so we can eat and drink together to the praise of the name of Jesus. The Lord Jesus, on the night in which he was betrayed, took the bread, and after he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Let's eat together and be thankful. In the same way, he also took the cup after the supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this every time you drink it in remembrance of me. For every time you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." Let us drink together and be thankful. Our Lord, in the honour of the Good Friday event, we are reminded that this was not the end of the story, that Jesus, after he was crucified and his body lay in the grave 3 days, he rose again in a glorified body, victorious over the powers of sin and death. And as we eat and drink together this morning, we proclaim this victory in Jesus' name as we look forward to it on Sunday. For without his perfect sacrifice, we were lost in our sin and brokenness. Now, Lord, although the tone is somber and the meaning carries such gravity, be our glory and the lifter of our heads. Carry us through this world as ambassadors for Christ, proclaiming freedom in the kingdom of God under his glorious rule. Give us assurance today of forgiveness. Give us words of praise that we might offer them back to you. Give us hope and meaning. Give us Jesus, crucified, resurrected, and reigning from the throne at this very moment. And when the time is right, take us to be where you are. And we ask these things in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.